This podcast was recorded in two parts, one in June and one in September. We really wanted to get Anna back to tell her story. We really hope you stick around. It's an inspiring story.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is the Dot Daddy Podcast. Today is Wednesday, June 12th, 2024, and I am here with Anna, a.k.a. Anna, a.k.a. AJ James. And she is in Melbourne, Australia, right?
Yes, I'm here in Melbourne. Yep.
In the future. Is it the 13th or the 12th still?
It is the 12th still. But okay. Yeah, I'm in the future. So
14 hours ahead. So it's 7 a.m. here and 9 p.m. where you're at.
9 p.m. here. Yeah. Yeah. Full day of work.
And so now I'm here with you. Were you dotting heads today?
I was, yes, all day. I had such a good day, though. Like I said,
hopefully you made some money.
Yeah, today was one of those days. Like, you know, I had three clients, so they were all different, and it was just exciting. Like women's density with gray hair, beard, tattoo, and then like a Norwood 6 second session. So like, can't get any more different than that.
Whoo, that's a long day. I don't like doing three people. I do not like, but good for you. I like. Two, maybe three if it's smaller ones, you know, a second. They will not be jobs.
The beard took me 1 hour. Okay. The shaved head took me 2 hours. Like there's no way I could do that if it was like first sessions. I'm not.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into it, Anna. So you're originally from Canada, right?
Yes. I am originally from Canada. I grew up in Calgary. But I'm originally from the East Coast, so Halifax.
Okay. And so what was it like growing up in Canada?
In Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, Canada's cool. Canada's super chill. But yeah, when I was growing up, we moved around heaps. Like we moved around so much. I lived in New York for a little bit. I lived in all over.
Was your parents in the military?
No, my mom's just wild. Okay. Yeah, we moved around lots, but yeah, Canada's cool. Chill. Cool.
Are you a big Drake fan?
Obviously. And I don't care what anybody says about his beat. I don't care if he's a freak. Okay. I like Drake.
Yeah, I like Drake. What about Justin Bieber?
Oh, come on. Like, I mean, Bieber's got hits. He's got hits.
Yeah. Hey, those are the two most famous Canadians I know, and Jim Carrey.
You can't deny it. You can't deny.
So when did you decide to move to Australia? Cause that's so different. I mean, Canada, obviously very cold, and Australia just looks super beautiful. I was looking at Melbourne on the map. I was like, wow, it looks awesome over there.
Yeah. So every Canadian wants to go to Australia, like, and every Aussie wants to go to Canada. It's so funny how we love to switch. But when I was in university, I wanted to finish off my degree in Australia. So it was always kind of my dream to go to Australia. And then I finished and just decided to come here for 6 months, get a working holiday visa. Because if you're young, not at my big age now, but if you're young, you can kind of come here and work for a year. And yeah, so that was my plan, but I didn't leave.
What did you end up going to school for?
I studied marketing and accounting. So,
oh wow, yeah. So you got a solid thing to fall back on. I mean, I mean, AI is definitely coming for some marketing stuff, but I still think we'll need the human element. And accounting, we still need humans as well for now, right?
Some extent.
For now.
I mean, I feel like what I learned, like I graduated in 2013. I feel like it's all obsolete now.
Like, hey, I graduated 2012 but mine was business management for that.
Business management? Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, you take little bits and pieces and put it together. Never thought I'd be dotting heads, but here we are.
I know that sometimes it feels like it's like, did I just waste a whole bunch of money going to graduate school, going to, you know, getting these different degrees? But I think it helped me learn how to learn. And be a better communicator for sure.
100%. And it helps you. Yeah, definitely helps you. Being in uni basically taught me that sometimes if you want things done right, you just have to do it yourself.
Oh,
those group projects were like, That's probably why I love to do everything now myself.
What, when you were in the group projects, were you the one saying, here, I'll do this? Were Bart, you know, being the leader, or were you like, fine.
Yeah, okay. I had to be the leader because I have to get shit done. Like, I can't just trust that people are going to do things. Plus, when I went to university, I was older than everybody else. So I had been bartending for years. I lived on my own. My parents weren't paying for any of my stuff. So I had something to prove to myself. So I wasn't about to let these like 18-year-olds determine my success.
Basically. I know all about that. I know I graduated high school in 05 and then I went to the Navy. Six. So I did. Oh, you okay. So great. Yeah. So we're like the same age.
Pretty much,
So you remember going through school with no Facebook. No social media. I mean, MySpace came out towards the end of it, and Xanga. But I mean, the profile pics were like this big. You know, it was like a little thumbnail, what we would call a thumbnail on a webcam. And I feel grateful. I don't know about you, but I'm glad we didn't have social media at that time.
I know. I feel like you were just able to be a young person and just, you know, live your life. Like, now you've got to be just put together all the time. Everyone's like, there's so much pressure to do this and do that. Yeah, it's just so different. So different.
I was immature, right? I was immature. And I would have, I feel like I would have got myself in a lot of trouble,
trouble.
If I had all this stuff. It's just trying to be funny or try to impress girls and making stupid videos. And then, see, I got away with a lot of things because I didn't record everything. But if I was a kid and I was, you know, I would have been recording myself doing stupid shit all the time.
All the time. Yeah. No.
But I am grateful for it. So you were a bartender and then you decided that I'm going to go to college, or you were working the whole time you're in college?
So I've had a job since I was like 13 years old. As soon as I was able to work, I had to work. Had to help pay for my own school fees. Like, I was not a kid that got handed anything in life. So I had a job super early. And then my mom said, you have to go to college and study accounting because there's always jobs for accountants. It was always, you have to get a job. So I did exactly that. Hated it. So did 2 years of accounting, came out, got my first job, $33,000 a year salary for a full-time job.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can't afford this, because then my mom kicked me out. So I was like, I've got rent to pay now. I had rent to pay. So I got a job at a bar, started making 10 times my salary, just waitressing half the time, and was like, fuck this, I'll just be a bartender and a waiter. So yeah, I did that for ages and then decided I should probably go back to school.
Okay.
Forever. Yeah. I want to have.
Did you work at like a really nice restaurant up there in Canada?
Yes, I did. I worked at nice restaurants, lounges, sort of more upscale ones, did bottle service. So,
You were a bottle girl?
I was a bottle girl. Yeah, I got that money.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. One of the things that makes you stand out, in my opinion, in the SMP industry is you are an excellent communicator. I messaged you. I've talked to you about this a year or so ago. And I was like, wow, she's a really good communicator. And I think, that when you're forced to become mature at a young age, starting to work at 13, 14, 15, you're kind of pressured into becoming this person who has to explain their point of view. And you're like, I got limited time. They're not going to listen to me for long. So I got to get this shit out there. You know, because I know how you feel. I've been working since a young age too, and had to pay for all my stuff. So I just always felt like I had to prove people wrong. And if I want to tell my side of the story, I got to be quick and I got to be very articulate with the way that I describe, you know, my emotions. Good for you. So moving to Australia, what was that like? What was the change like?
It was pretty seamless. Like, Aussies they're pretty chill. Like, everyone thinks they're super nice. They're super nice, similar to Canadians, but Canadians are way nicer than Aussies. Okay. Like, I don't care if anyone comes for me for that. They just are. Canadians are just like the sweetest people ever. But where I moved to first, it was like the tropics. So real tropical, real quiet. So that was a culture shock for me coming from Calgary to the quiet tropics. But I got used to it pretty quick. So yeah.
And then when you say tropics, for people who are not from Australia, what does that mean? Because I know you're in Melbourne now, and that's like a city.
Yeah.
It's like a city near the water.
Yeah, Melbourne's on the water. So Cairns is where I used to live. So far north, it's, think of like a mini Hawaii. It's like that.
Okay.
Whereas Melbourne's like a big city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So what was it like? I'm assuming you've seen these big, I see online, the big spiders, everything looks bigger and scarier.
No, that's such a myth. It's a myth. So
really?
I've seen probably 3 snakes the whole time I've lived here. 1 spider, and that was like on an island somewhere, like 1 big spider, like a poisonous one.
Uh-huh.
Myth.
No, so they're not crawling out of your toilet every time you go to pee?
No, definitely not.
I'm sure you've seen the videos, though, where they come out of the toilet and you see these long.
But you know what? I don't think I've ever lived in places where they have that kind of wildlife. So,
because you're in the city?
Yeah. Like the most that I would have seen is like sharks and crocodiles.
I mean, and also scary in its own right, but it's at least it's in the water. What made you pick Melbourne? One, it looks beautiful, but it also looks expensive, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, so it's one of the more expensive cities. Sydney is more expensive than Melbourne, but I would say second too. After I was moving away from Cairns, I was kind of going through a time and I just needed to relocate. And I had some friends that had moved here and lived here, so it was the obvious choice. I wouldn't live anywhere else in Australia. I would, Melbourne's it for me.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great. And so you moved there initially not knowing anyone, and then you made friends kind of in Australia?
So when I actually came to Australia, so my best friend, we went and did Yacht Week. We did Europe and Croatia and all of this. So then we were meant to only come to Australia for like 6 months. So it was just the two of us. We didn't know anybody here. And we just moved to Cairns. And then from there, just met people and got stuck into the Aussie life.
Wow.
So when I moved to Melbourne, I had like 3 friends here. So I didn't have...
Okay, so you weren't totally alone, but you knew somebody. It's better than nothing.
Yeah, I knew some people. And I said, actually, this the other month, like last month, I was in Miami and I was telling the students, like, you guys don't need a big network. When I moved to Melbourne, I didn't have any fucking friends. Like, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have, like, you just start from nothing. You work with what you've got, right? So, but yeah, I'm kind of an introvert at heart, I would say. So I keep a small circle of really good people, basically.
I love that. I know some of your, you had a situation with your ex. Do you want to go into that? Like, how did that all happen?
We can. Yeah, for sure. It's definitely like a big part of my story, like how I actually got into SMP and just everything kind of happening for me, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So how did you, I mean, you were did accounting, right? So you were doing accounting. And then when you're in Australia, are you doing accounting too? Or
no,
are you like, so screw this, I'm just going to be a bartender. I can make more money.
I went back to being a bartender. When I moved to Australia, I got back into hospitality, stayed in hospitality for years. And then I got into sales. I was doing magazine advertising sales. And then I was a travel agent. So my job, right before SMP, was a travel agent.
Do they exist anymore?
Not really.
I mean, because it's like I'll go on Expedia, right? Something like that.
Yeah. After COVID, like I got out of being a travel agent right before COVID. I quit my job and started my SMP journey. So I got out right before everything hit the fan. But back in the day, it was a great job. Loved it.
Okay.
But I actually stumbled across a travel agency the other day and I was like, are y'all still here?
I haven't seen one in years. I haven't seen one in years.
No, good. You made it. Okay, great.
I guess, but Australia being a big tourist destination, they probably get something, you know, especially, mm-hmm. and older people, like, they don't, they like talking to someone.
Yeah. They want to go in. Yeah.
Yeah. So what got you in SMP? You obviously have a lot of hair, right?
So how I got into SMP, basically I was having an early life crisis and going through a lot of things, and I just needed a career change, like full stop. I just wanted to do something different. And this was around the time that brows and microblading was really popular. Like, it was starting to kick off a few years, probably like 6 years ago now. So that was always kind of my dream to do that. So I signed up for a course, took a course that was brows and lashes combined. I never wanted to do lashes. Okay. Like, it was just like, it was an extra thing that I could learn within 5 days. So I, yeah, did my course, did not learn anything. Like, it was so rough. Like, no background theory, no knowledge, no practice. I didn't even know how to do an eyebrow stroke. They just gave us a model. I'm pretty sure so I didn't learn anything and was starting to do some lashes, wasn't really good at lashes either, and hated it.
It's so tedious.
I glued my best friend's eyes shut. Like, I was just like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. So then I was like, look, I need some more training. Let me book in for some more training to do eyebrows, because I'm not going to give up on this. I want my own business and I want to be creative. I want to do the artsy side. So booked in my training and booked in a model, which was my friend, and rocked up. And they were like, what are you doing here? You were meant to be here yesterday. So the day that I went there, they were doing SMP. So there was a bald guy there and he was getting his head tattooed. And I was like, whoa, that's insane. What is that? So I literally just went to my training on the wrong day. It was like, right place, wrong time. But
you really showed up on the wrong day and you saw it.
Yeah, I was meant to be there the day before. And I was like, the whole time, I still was getting some practice in with my model. They were like, look, we'll teach you on the side of this course. And I was just thinking about this fucking bald guy. And I'm like, what is that? Like, so as soon as I left that, I was like, I don't even care about these eyebrows. I do not care. I was driving home. I was looking in everyone's car, like, he's bald, he's bald, he's bald. Like, this is
so much potential.
Yeah. Started Googling it. There wasn't much around back then. Like, I think you started SMP around the same time. Well, probably a year before me.
2018, 2019.
Yeah, I started 2019, so there wasn't much on the internet. There was a couple photos. I found one that I loved, and I'm pretty sure it's Tony Avignato's, like one of his old...
Shout out to Tony.
Yeah, so I was like, this is insane. Like, this is it. This is me. I'm obsessed with this. So booked in the first training I could get into. Back then, there was only two trainers in Australia. I just booked the first one that was close. I didn't give a fuck. Didn't know anything. Didn't know how much money I could make. I just was like, this is unreal. So... yeah, universe.
Wow. Leading me. So it wasn't Tony, because he's in Italy. Was he doing one of those traveling things? It was just a local person?
No, it was a guy who had been doing SMP for 9 years. He's like, he was the first person to do it in Australia. He learned from Paul Clark. I don't know. Anyways, whatever. He'd been doing it for a long time and had just started a training academy. So I think I was in maybe one of his first groups to do SMP training. So I am super grateful that I got in that group regardless.
is this person, we don't have to say names, but is this person still in the industry?
No, they've retired.
Okay. But you're grateful that you were exposed to it and got to go to the class, right?
Shout out. Yeah. Well, Hairline Solutions, Aaron is who I trained with. There's no...
Shout to Aaron.
Shout out to Aaron. Thanks, Aaron.
I know how you feel. I mean, I took a training with someone down in DC when I first learned, the person who did my head. And then later I've trained with like 5 or 6 people now, but it's like, at least I learned it. I got the fundamentals. I kind of saw it. You see how they operate and you kind of decide, hey, if I open up my own place, I'm going to do things a little bit different. You know, it's just, we have our own ways that we want to run our operations.
So that's also like, that's having, I don't know. I think some people, they just never evolve, right? So they'll just take what they've learned and just stick with that and not try to figure out how to make it work better for themselves. So.
And think they know it all, right?
Think they know it all.
I've already learned it. There's nothing more to learn, which is not a good mentality.
No, not at all. I'm still learning. I love learning. I think it's so interesting learning every little tidbit that I can get. I'm like, ooh, ooh, ooh. You can never stop learning.
And by the way, Anna, you're a great artist. I look at your work. You are a really talented artist, by the way. I just want to put that out there for everyone. Yeah, you do really great work and your shop looks successful. So how did you start? So after you do the training, what do you do? Are you like saying, hey, guinea pig person in Australia, do you want to?
Let me tattoo your head. You know, it's funny. So literally my second day of SMP training, I was just sat there because it was a 4-day class. And I was just like, I'm going to be an SMP trainer one day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were thinking that during the class.
Day two, I was like, I'm going to be a trainer one day. I'm going to have a full team. I'm going to take this pretty far. So I'm not even joking. I was like, I'm not fucking stopping with this. But
Manifestation.
Yeah, exactly. But basically, after I left my training, I found models on Facebook. Because like I said, I had three friends. So... had to find models on Facebook, lined up like 10 people. Again, back then, SMP was super new in Australia. So I was doing clients for like $99 a session. I didn't.
Oh, shit. Care. Deals.
I just need practice and like, I just want to do it. So yeah, lined up those first few models, found a little location to work from, and just kind of took little steps, little goals, little wins after that.
What? Where were you renting? Were you out of a salon, or where were you renting?
So, look, my first few clients were like from my living room.
Hey, same. Nothing wrong with that. I did the same thing.
We all start somewhere, a little fold up bed. Yeah. But I found a girl again on Facebook who she was doing skin treatments. So I just rented her room 3 days a week. It was like, let me just get someplace that even if I had no clients that I can afford to pay for this, because I need a space to work from. I can't have people in and out of my house. So yeah, that was my first spot. And then the second one I got, and a month later we went into lockdown, and then I had a third one, and this is my fourth location now.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. You're in your, to this day, you're in your fourth spot location?
Yeah. So we've been at this one 3 years. It'll be like, it's like my fifth year of doing SMP in like 3 weeks, the anniversary. Wow. I might have a big ass party, I think.
Congrats. And your studio looks awesome, by the way. It's a really nice
we've had a few really good parties there with DJs and stuff. So it's such a good space. So good.
We just move all the beds out of the way?
No, so it's multiple rooms. So the whole front area you can shut off, and there's like couch, TV, like everything in there, kitchen, bathroom. So they don't even have to go in the back where the treatment rooms are. It's like, we just party in the front.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're not messing. You don't have to reset up and all that sort of thing. Yeah. So you get, so I just want to kind of follow your timeline. So you learned SMP, you're in your first studio. Are you still working as a bartender at this time?
Yes. As soon as I took my SMP training, I quit my travel agent job. So I, and like this was like a reason that pushed me into having my own SMP business so much, because I asked for some time off and I didn't have any annual leave left, and they said no. And I was like, no, bye. So anyways, quit my travel agent job and got a job at a bar. So while I was starting my SMP business, I was working at a bar that was like a quiet bar. Like, it wasn't busy at all. It was perfect for me. So I used to just sit in the kitchen working on my SMP business. I'd just fuck off to the toilet, start working on my SMP business. But I was like drawing out my logos. Like, I have all these little notepads of like little things. I would just sit there and write about my SMP business. Like, I was not working at this job. It was simply
I love that. I did the same thing too. I mean, I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah, but I had to have some money coming in because I wasn't a full-time artist. I was barely getting any clients who were paying enough.
And you got rent.
Just got bills to pay, right? So
yeah. So the reason why I said you're still working, I thought you're still doing the bartending and the travel agent at the same time. So you completely stopped the bartender, became the travel agent, and then we're doing SMB combined at the same time. And then you're like, fuck this travel agency thing. Okay.
I still need money.
Okay.
Two separate times. So when I lived up north, I was a travel agent and I had two jobs at that point. So I was a bartender and I was a travel agent. And then when I moved down to Melbourne, I was just a travel agent and the hours were ridiculous. It was like an hour commute each way, full-time hours for like $700 after tax. So yeah, quitting that was, yeah. I didn't give a fuck. Like I don't, whatever. I'll just go work in a bar and make same money. So yeah, when I was doing SMP, I was just working in a bar and then doing SMP on the side.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like how you use, so when you were looking for people on Facebook, were you just messaging them or did you do run a little
no.
ad?
No. So there's beauty groups on Facebook. So I, when I was doing my eyebrow training, I needed models and I didn't know anybody. So I was like, how can I get a model? Because you had to bring your own models. And they were like, oh, go on Facebook. There's beauty groups. So that was really helpful, actually. I found my first SMP models on that same beauty group. So if you go in your city, so if you like Delaware beauty models, there might be a Facebook group for people looking for cheap beauty treatments, haircuts, skin, nails, whatever. So there's two of them in Melbourne. And I joined both of them and just started posting in there and got like 10 people straight off the bat.
Well, I, for some reason, I've never, I guess, I've looked on Facebook groups, but I never thought about looking for like a permanent makeup or a beauty group. There's definitely got to be one in Philadelphia. I got to check that out.
Has to be. Yeah. Cause people are always looking for stuff and you could join like the, I don't know what they call them if they have them in America, but they're called buy, swap, sell groups. So it's like your local community group. And there's so many suburbs in Melbourne. You can just post in there. Hey guys, I'm looking for a model. Like so many ways of doing it. Yeah. Facebook is your
friend. And when you would post for the model, would you say it was free or would you, once they contacted you, say, look, it's only $99.
Oh no, I put exactly what it was. $99 per session or $199 a session, $500 for your full head. I got my first like 20 clients off of there. And then just started getting some referrals, word of mouth from people I started meeting, finally made some friends. but Facebook was my best friend finding my first models.
Let me ask you something. Because you have hair, right? I ask this to people who have hair who are in SM. Have you found that sometimes, and you're a pretty girl, so have you found sometimes that, hey, I have hair, I'm a pretty girl, some bald guy, they're usually very self-conscious, right? They're, you know, it might be intimidated. Have you found that you might lose sales this way or has it not affected you?
I don't think so. I think people are about results. So if they're coming to me, they want results. They don't care that I'm a girl or not.
Okay.
Or at least I don't know. Anyways, I try to just make everyone feel super comfortable. Like they see me online. It's like they feel like they already know me. So I don't know. At the end of the
day. Isn't that wild when that happens?
Yeah,
they're like, I know exactly what you mean.
How's your cat? Your ex-boyfriend's a dickhead. I'm like, I know. You guys fucking know everything.
I know. It's a little surreal, but I think it helps with sales at minimum, right?
Yeah. So no, I don't feel like that's ever, I mean, and if someone's not come to me because I'm a woman, then it's been few and far between, that's for sure.
Well, that's great. That's great, dear. I love to hear that because I am always thinking that, and even use, I think we talked offline about doing the beards. You obviously don't have a beard, like, so, and they still trust you to do the beard.
Yeah, definitely. I did have one client who I had to fire, who just was, he was a red flag client, to be honest. And I was doing his beard, and he thought it was meant to be like dark and black, and he just was not listening to me. Anyways, he tried to bag me and be like, I knew that she wasn't going to be able to do what I wanted. I should have gone to a guy. I'm like, sorry, sweetie. Like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not finishing your beard now.
I love that you said
red. It's the only time. But
yeah, you've had to kind of, I've cut one person too. And I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast, but basically, you know, when you're doing the back of the head, like this, you know, and they're down, their arms are here. This dude was like he's a really creepy, weird dude. He was telling me all these lies. You know how you know someone's lying when you're talking to him and you're like, you're full of shit, bro. And then he goes, he moves his arm. He's like, oh, I hit your cock. And I'm like, oh, he was like, I almost hit your cock. And he kept saying and doing weird shit. I was like, all right, bro, we're done. I just didn't feel comfortable. I said, look, I'm not going to try and fight you or anything, but like, I'm going to finish this session. We're done. And then I called a local guy who they know who they are. And I said, I want you to do this guy. I explained the whole situation. And he said, yeah, that was a very odd person. But he finished, but it sucks when you're in that situation. So he tried to badmouth you, and like, did he go online and do anything?
No. So what happened was he sent his photo. It's the longest story, but anyways, I told him that the way he was going to cut his beard looked stupid. And so he did cut his beard that way, shave these weird ass lines here. It just looked dumb. Anyways, he tried to blame it on me, but he sent his photos to one of my students. Mm-hmm. So my student had already seen this guy in my story. So he's like, wait, isn't AJ doing your beard? Like, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah, I knew she wasn't going to do it. And he's like, well, I'm not finishing it for you. You can go back to her because like, no, I'm not touching it. She can do it. Like, why would you come here? She's doing it. So my student told me and showed me all the screenshots. So I was like, oh, he did he? So his second session with me was like the next day, and I sent him a scathing voice note, just basically telling him to go fuck himself. never finished his beard. So I hope somebody did, because that base was flawless, regardless of what he said.
I think you handled it pretty well. I think you handled it pretty well. It's tough being in that situation. And other SMP artists, if you're listening in PMU, sometimes you gotta draw the line with people, even if yes. they're paying you. You know, you have to look, I don't want to work on you anymore. Whatever the case.
It's principle. Like, I'm not gonna have your negative energy in my zone, you know, like just sitting there tattooing you like,
And have you ever sat there, and because I was telling you, you're such a good communicator, you try to communicate everything during the consultation, explain everything to them, and you're like, okay, they understand. And then when they come in, they still think something different. And I'm like, this is not real hair. This is SMP. You're going to need multiple sessions. We've talked about it. I sent you videos. You see, and it's like,
you must keep your head shaved. You have to clean your head. I said, don't put the shower water, but I said, clean your head. Like, it's funny.
So you're doing the beards. I personally have only done little patches of beards to this point. I'm a little afraid. I'm a little
really.
I'm
intricate,
but it's like you're working. It's like you got to do this the whole time. You know what I mean? Aren't you pulling? There's no resistance. There's no skull. It's just teeth behind it. I've done like little spots.
Just
like
thick skin. Just thick skin. Yeah, you definitely.
Did you like doing the beard?
I love doing beards. I think it's like really intricate and detailed, especially when you're just filling in patches. Like, I love everything that I do is pretty much a subtle look. Like, it's meant to look really subtle and natural. So I love doing the subtle beards where it just looks fuller.
Uh-huh.
I've done one beard where it was like nothing. He had absolutely nothing and he just wanted a little bit of shadow. So that one was awesome too. Yeah, I really like them.
Someone with no facial hair at all? You did a 5 o'clock shadow?
Yeah, I actually did his entire scalp, 4 sessions, and his whole beard, 3 sessions. So over 3 sessions, he had his scalp and then his beard done. So this was dedication for him and me, actually.
Yeah, and a lot of money. And I feel those are the people I feel a lot of empathy for them and sympathy, because it's like, I'm bald, but at least I got a nice full beard, you know? But if you're bald and you can't even grow a mustache, or maybe just a little mustache, you can't, that's, you know, to me, that's the worst. Yeah.
Not by choice. You have SMP.
Anna can hook you up, people. If you're listening, she'll hook you up with both. Okay. So then let's keep going on your story. So then what's next?
So what is that? So got my first location.
You got your first location. You're in lockdown. Yeah. You're still doing the bartender thing?
No. Okay. So actually, when I got the job at the bar, I gave myself a goal. So I always have little goals that I work towards and just kind of speak it into existence, manifest it, write it down. I'm huge on like vision boards and lists, huge on it. So I gave myself a goal. I'm going to quit this bar job by April 1st because it's holding me back. It's hindering me from focusing on SMP. It's like a little crutch. My bills are not that much. Like, I've got a bit of savings now. Quit this job. And then we went into lockdown March 23rd and I lost my bar job. So I was, the universe is again like, come on, bitch, come on, let's go. Like, you're out. So lost the bar job and then never went back. So it was tempting after the first lockdown because I didn't have steady super, super steady SMP clients. So it was tempting to go back to my job, but I was like, nah, I've got to put everything into SMP. So yeah, just literally put everything into SMP.
You went all in, and it's crazy.
I literally took all my, our little retirement savings that I had here. I took it all out, invested it in marketing, and yeah, that paid off tenfold for me.
Hell yeah. Congrats on that. Cause it's scary and it's risky and it's, especially during COVID. But what I found when we shut down during that March, obviously my numbers dropped, but then like the next month and like the month after that, I went, my numbers went way, way up. It's like people were just staring in the mirror, like I'm a bald fuckhead.
And they're like, I need to do something. Nobody was really marketing SMP that much back then. So I took out all my savings and invested all into marketing. So by the time lockdown was over, everyone had been seeing my ads. Hey, if you're bald, I can help you. Hey, you have hair loss, I can help you. So I had like 20 to 30 people locked in with deposits, like ready to go after lockdown. Yeah. So as soon as I opened up, it was like, boom, just go, 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 go for years.
And when did you, because it looks like you have at least like three other people, I think, that work at your shop. How did that happen? How'd that come to fruition?
Yeah. So after about a year or so of being I'm talking like the most ridiculous schedules ever, like a month straight, no day off, 2-3 clients a day, 6-7 days a week. I was on the verge of a breakdown. But you can't say no, because when you're so busy, and like, I don't have kids or anything. So it was like, I literally can just work. I can't say no to the money. Like if I say no, they're going to go somewhere else. And I was already booked out like 3 months in advance. So I was like, I need to hire somebody immediately. So I was friends with Ange at the time. I had already done his SMP and trained him up over about 3 months, and then got Brooke on, trained her up, kind of threw in the deep end, trained her up a little bit, and then threw her in the deep end. I was like, if you want to work here, you got to learn fast. We're really busy. You got to learn really fast. And then Corey was brought on, and now there's Orla as well, is the latest artist.
Wow. So you have, there's five total people at your, at Inked?
At Melbourne. Yeah. So.
Wow. Wow. Congratulations. Like congratulations on that. For real.
I'm taking a step back from the tattooing. I'm still on the tools. If people request me or like my clients, but I don't accept too many new clients anymore. Mm-hmm. Any like really difficult jobs, I love to get my hands on those. So absolutely, I love to do those.
Okay, so you're more focusing on like the training, and I know you've been teaming up with Tommy. I talked to Tommy Buns, aka Thomas Bermudez, and Taylor, and I know that you've done a few different trainings with them. I think one where they came to you, and Tom was telling me about he had a lot of fun over in Australia, and I think you went down to his shop in Florida as well.
They were out there with FYT for the expo. So I have just always been a huge Taylor fan, just my whole career. I just really admire him as a businessman and as an artist. So we've always been cool. He's given me some like solid gems over the years. So I was like, Taylor, let's do a collab. Like, come on. And then he just happened to be in Melbourne. So it all worked out. That was so much fun. Like, there hasn't been a masterclass like that in Australia yet. So that was the first one where it was like a multi-technique class that was including online courses. Like, it was just such a vibe. And then, I just got back from Miami like a month ago. So they took care of me in Miami. Has such a good time.
How long were you in Miami for?
Maybe like five days.
Okay.
2 day class and then through 3 days, like just
enjoying life. Miami. Of course.
Bahamas. It was, oh my God, it was so good. So good.
Hey, Taylor's such a beast at marketing. He is one of the best marketers in the game. Nobody can dispute that, whether you love him or hate him. TP, killing it in marketing. You cannot argue that.
Yes. Just have so much respect for him as well. In the industry.
Since we're on the topic of marketing, you're booked out pretty far. So I want to bring up a topic that I've talked to many people about. I'm sure you get these too. a shit ton of DMs. Hey, I can get you 100 leads in, you know, 3 days, and you're going to make so many sales. And I'm like, you're full of shit. Yeah. So who does your marketing? You don't have to tell us a company if you don't want to, or if you do it yourself.
Oh, it's common knowledge. I've been with Michael from Fill Your Clinic for like 5 years almost.
Oh, you do use Mike? Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I've been with him for years. He does multiple campaigns for me. So I'm definitely a Michael fan.
So that's Michael Keenan, right?
Yeah. So he does my main marketing. I've used a few others in the past, probably 3-4 others in the past. But yeah.
So you're saying Mike's legit? He works?
He works.
He works.
Works for me, for sure.
So do you have it like a monthly budget? And so is he running your Facebook ads, or does he do Google? Does he do it all? If someone's interested, like what?
Their business specializes in Meta. So that's what they do, is Instagram and Facebook. That's what they specialize in. That's always worked for me. He's done my TikTok before, like just as a favor. Like, it's not what they specialize in, but he's like, yeah, whatever, I'll do it for you. But I had a company specializing in TikTok, doing my TikTok recently. Just one of those things. Had someone else doing my Google. It's not even worth it. I've had two others before that promised the world, but yeah, like it's just one of those things. Like for us, I think a lot of our clients at the moment come from word of mouth and referrals, and literally, like, I'm not even joking, organic socials, like organic things.
Okay. They just see you, it pops up in their feed, or they're researching
your feed. Like, there's ways to get your videos seen with social media. It's just having an understanding of social media, the way it works and how to do it.
And it's a never-ending process, people.
Oh, it's never-ending. You know what, Joey? I'm tired.
I felt like I had it figured out, and then they changed it, and I was like, motherfucker.
I love doing it. Like, I just love making the little reels and videos. It's so much fun.
And you're a beast at it, by the way.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be a music video director. So I feel like I'm living out my little dream, like with bald heads, I guess. But I love it. But I just spend entirely too much time on it. Like, there's no need to be spending this much time on it. It's crazy.
You're doing research.
But it's working,
you're doing
though. Research. It works. So.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I love making my videos, and I love making the reels. It's, to me, marketing is the most, my favorite part almost about being an SMP artist. I know how that sounds.
On the marketing as well, though, you've got some fun videos. Like, you can feel the vibe, feel the energy. Like, that's what I love those kind of videos.
Yeah, and they're great. I love the video that you post when you have the bald head filter on. That's
the filter. Hilarious. Andre. Yeah. Andre, that's my alter. He's literally my alter ego.
But it's like that with Facebook. It's like I feel like I figured stuff out, and then I take two steps back, or when it gets flagged or something. Because I don't know if you remember this, but in the beginning, like around COVID, we weren't able to boost before and after pictures. They were like, it's focusing on one part of the body. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you remember that? But then for some reason they started allowing it, and the mask thing actually I think helped, because when the people wore the mask, they were forced, you know, you're forced to kind of just look at their head, and you're not saying that's the focal point. Because that's why I kind of started making videos, is because I was like, man, because it was like, you got a fat guy and then you got a guy with a six pack. He's like, I drank a protein shake for 6 months and now I'm jacked. And they were like, those are lies. So that's why they weren't allowing the, you know, the before and afters with the bald guys.
I forgot about the masks. Masks were great for clients who didn't want to show their faces. I totally forgot about that. I mean, you should just let them wear the mask because you can't tell who it is. I might need to bring those back.
Yeah. Put your logo on it. But it's perfect, because then it's like you're forced to look at, like, basically the eyes up.
Yeah. Right?
And they can't see it. And there's no glare, because I have the little sunglass thing, but that puts a glare out.
Well, I just make everyone show their face. I'm not even asking. Yeah, you're going on my page.
You're great. That's great. That's I get too many people who are you know, it's a secret. Everything's a secret.
Everything's secret. Look, we get some secret ones too, and you can just hide the back of their head. But I thought about getting some little glasses or something, but I think most of our clients are just like, well, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, whatever. That's yeah. great. That's
on there. I saw myself on your ad. I'm famous.
Now, so do you do any of the creatives or marketing, or is Mike handling pretty much all of it? Do you do Google stuff?
All that I do is social media stuff. Obviously, we provide all the content and then they just put it together. But I don't do actually any of the marketing stuff myself. Like, I have a slight understanding of it, but I've just got so many other things to do than worry about that. But it is a never ending thing. Like, it's as soon as you start doing one thing, someone starts copying, and then everyone, it's all the same shit. So then you've got to evolve, and then people are tired of seeing it, this SMP, and then you've got to evolve more. And it's like, then you've got to reach different people. Like, it's always evolving. I like to say marketing is the bane of my existence.
I know exactly what you mean. You know what bothers me is when you're putting in the categories, if you're doing a boost or something, and you're like, things that people are interested in, it'll say hair growth. I wish it said like being bald or something like that. Like, just make it simple. I'm trying to regrow my hair, or hair transplant. Still not even on the list of keywords.
Because I find most of our clients, they're not looking for SMP. They're looking for hair loss solutions of some kind. They don't know anything about the tattoo. They've never even heard of it before. So yeah, you got to be everywhere and have a portfolio and a website, and there's a bit to it, but so worth it. Yeah.
Do you do a lot of scar camouflage from FUT and FUEs?
Yes, we do a lot of work with hair transplants, thickening, scars, everything. Yeah. I feel like hair transplants are quite popular here. Yeah.
They are in the U.S. Is Turkey closer to, well, like, what's the distance?
No, Australia is far from everything except Asia.
Okay. Are hair transplants big in Asia? Because, you know, everyone here goes to Turkey, right? Because
yeah, Turkey is the place here as well. But lots of people do get it done just in Australia. But everyone thinks Turkey, 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 Turkey. It's not necessarily the best.
What was the, let me ask you this on what was the hardest part for you to learn doing SMP? Was it, do you ever do straight line edge ups? I know it's real popular here. Taylor does them a lot. Or do you do mostly natural hairlines?
I do mostly natural hairlines. I do edge ups. I do everything, whatever you want. When I do an edge up though, I like to do a hybrid look. So it's still going to be the soft edges, but hard hairlines are not that popular here. When we go do the training in New Zealand, they're more popular there. It's more of the culture there. But as far as like Australia and Canada, when I go there, we do soft hairlines.
Okay.
But I think for me, the hardest thing to understand was your hand control. So understanding my dwell and pressure and depth and speed of the machine, speed of the needle protrusion, like the ink flow, just perfecting that for my hand motion. It was almost like an aha moment, because I was taught to go low machine speed and long dwell. So real slow movements, perfect dots. That did not work for me at all. So it took me a while to figure out that just that perfect Yeah. And then going with the angle of the hair growth, just so much. But I would say, yeah, pressures and things was my hardest part. I kind of struggled with my first couple hairlines, and then I just figured it out.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think pressure is the most difficult, because, I mean, especially in the beginning, I would do, let's say, you know, you're going pop, 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 pop. And then you do 20 of them, but maybe 13 stuck or 11. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh shit. Like, 'cause you're trying to go fast for whatever reason. But now I think taking my time works a little bit better. And it's really just a couple seconds more. It's not that hard for me.
Just like different skins. Like, I was working today. I always try to find analogies for my students as well, like to understand things in the simplest terms. And two of my clients, I was like, fuck, their skins are a little bit difficult. But I'm like, you know what? You know, when you bite into an apple and it has that texture, and that's what their skin felt like. Like, if you were to put a needle in an apple, like the inside of an apple, like that.
like a fibers, break in the skin. Yeah.
Like fibrous, crunchy kind of feeling. It's like you need to go with a different pressure in that kind of skin. So yeah, there's just so much to SMP. Like I was saying to one of my clients today, there's people who do dots and there's other people who truly think this is an art form that we're trying to recreate hair, like to perfection. So
yeah, I mean, even the little tiny hair strokes that Tony's doing up in the front, he'll do the one liner hair strokes, you know, yes, and then he'll fill the rest with the
black rain.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And then John Giroux is doing, he's doing like a calic. He's following the calic. So he's making the swirl in the back. I'm not sure if you've seen that one, but that's interesting as well, too. Are you typically doing three sessions, two sessions, four?
Three. It just depends. I think my work it really depends. Like obviously the less hair they have, but most of my clients are going to be three sessions. I'm not a two session kind of gal. Everything I do is very like soft and feathered. So it's three sessions just because I don't know. It's just,
no, where I do three too. In fact, a lot of times I'll do four, especially if it's like a real fair skinned, white guy, like redhead freckles. I have to, because I'm using the smallest needle and I'm being super careful because, any imperfection on them, it's like, it's very noticeable.
Three or four sessions is usually what I do. Yeah.
So and you said your Melbourne location. So I wasn't sure. Do you have a second location?
So I have my home base is in Melbourne, but I do trainings in New Zealand and Canada.
Okay.
As well. Okay. So I've got Canadian Academy and a New Zealand Academy. So I'm going to New Zealand in a month. So this is my eighth time to New Zealand. So yeah, we were the first academy in New Zealand. So we pretty much brought it there in a huge way. I've probably trained like 50, 60 artists from New Zealand alone.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you rent a spot there every time or how do you do it?
Oh yeah, I rent a spot. I bring all my shit with me, all the kits, everything. I bring it all with me. And then other things that I need, I just get from suppliers there, like equipment and things. But yeah, I just set it up like that. And then Canada, again, I've got a preferred location that I love. But of course in Canada, I've got free accommodation.
Yeah.
And I own the equipment there. I just store it at our other training partner's house. So yeah, Canada's cruisy for me. I just show up with the kits, with the kits sent from 5 p.m. It's all there for me. New Zealand it's a big production when I go. So I'll be doing two back-to-back classes there next month and then Sydney.
So you go to other parts of Australia too. Wow.
Yeah, just doing Sydney as well. So partnered up with a guy named Jackson from Scalp Revival. So we did our original SMP training together. We were in the same class. So we've both like really started from the bottom. but yeah, so I'm in Sydney now as well.
And now teaming up. That's really cool. So going to New Zealand, how far is that from you?
About 4 hours direct.
4 hours. Do they give you a cheap flight? I mean, is it the same price?
It's not bad. I mean, if you book it not last minute,
okay,
$400 to $500, anywhere from $500 to $1,000. So it's reasonable.
Okay.
It's actually cheaper to go to New Zealand than it is to go to the other side of Australia sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you found that, is it growing in popularity out there in New Zealand?
Definitely. So yeah, I would say, look, Australia is a couple of years behind the rest of the world in everything. And New Zealand is 3 years behind Australia. So it's new there, but their sort of culture and mindset towards men doing self-improvement, sort of looking after themselves, it's more kind of a little bit taboo still. Like, oh, why are you doing that? Oh. You know, like sort of that mentality, the harden up culture. That's what they call it, the harden up culture. But it's growing. Guys are looking after themselves. Like if you when you feel good on the outside, you radiate confidence and energy, and that's just like improves every part of your life. So, look, it's coming to New Zealand, but it's early days there. So.
When you go to New Zealand, because I don't know, the only thing I know about New Zealand is it looks awesome. People bungee jump a lot. there. Can you charge the same prices that you charge in Australia? Because I know if we go to, like, I don't know, let's say India or Mexico, you can't charge the same prices that you charge in US.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? So you can and you can't. It just depends what it is, what your who your demographic is, and how you market yourself. Okay. So I feel like a lot of this, people will be like, it's a recession, no one's spending money. Okay, but someone down the road from you is still busy as fuck. So what does that say about what you're doing? But in generally, I would say it is a little bit cheaper there. So like for us, if a head is 3,500, that same treatment in New Zealand's probably going to be 2,500 to 3,000. Like it's definitely not the same. Same makes as other sense. Parts of Australia though, you know?
So do you have people that you've worked on in New Zealand? Because I imagine you've had to have models, right? And maybe you did one or two sessions. And now when you come back, do you do their third session during your training?
And now we've got a huge database there of previous models. Like each class, we've got 8 to 10 models. Like I don't do one model for 5 people. Like every 1 or 2 people is getting 2 models at least. So it's a lot of people that we've worked on that can refer us other people, or then they can come back. We can see their healed results. We can do another session for them. So it's, I love to have healed results that we can show students and that they can work on as well. So,
yeah, that's huge for learning, seeing the healed results and then going back and doing a second or third session, or just seeing the final kind of product after it's fully hardened up under the skin. I think that's really important because I had to learn that shit basically by myself.
Me too. Yeah. I had to just figure it out. Like I didn't have a mentor telling me what looked good and what didn't look good. I just had to literally figure it out and figure I was going too deep or I wasn't. It's just like trial and error.
It's scary as hell doing your first couple heads by yourself. You're like, what am I doing? Yeah, it is. I'm really happy with all your success and all that. So your next training is when? It's in New Zealand. You said 2 months and then Australia. What are the dates?
Next month I'll be in New Zealand, July 19th, for beginners class, and then experienced artist class the 24th. And then I'll be at, there's like a New Zealand PMU conference, so I'll be at that. Just demonstrating SMP, kind of having my own little section showing SMP to PMU artists. So I think a lot of people are interested in learning SMP. I think Stevie G is going to that one as well.
Okay.
They're kind of headlining the SMP part. And then, I'll be in Melbourne doing another class, and then Sydney, and then Canada.
Okay. I see. Come back. And is your family still live in Canada?
All my family's in Canada. So I just came out here by myself.
So do you go back there for a little bit longer just because, like to visit relatives or anything?
Now okay. I do. Yeah. Now that I'm working there, it's really nice to be able to go back a little bit extra than I normally would and spend some time with everyone. So
probably during the summer is a little better as well, right?
I'm going actually in winter next. I'm planning winter. Okay. November. Cause I've taken a liking to skiing again.
I saw you post some of your, I was like, are there mountains in Australia? Maybe she was in Canada.
There are actually. So next month when I go to New Zealand, we'll do a little bit of skiing. I'll tack on a ski trip with my partner after. So it's my new little obsession is skiing again.
Well, good for you. I didn't learn to ski, but I tried snowboarding at 18, not as like a kid. And I'm going like 50 miles an hour and I don't know how to stop. So it was just a lot of falling.
I still don't know how to stop. I'm learning as a 35-year-old person.
So what do you think is the future of SMP? Do you think we're going to keep growing? Do you think it's we're going to shut down? Obviously, we were talking about the recession, but some people still have some disposable income, I'll say.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's one of SMP isn't going anywhere. Okay, it is not going anywhere. In fact, I feel like it is growing bigger than ever. Like we still have so many people who have never heard of it.
So you think it's going to keep growing? So you think SMP is still going to continue to grow? We're not shutting down anytime soon?
Absolutely. And I am making it my mission to bring this shit mainstream, okay?
Please.
I am making it my mission to bring it mainstream, to make it like obviously we're SMP specialists, like that's all we do. It's extremely niche. However, the more people that know about it, people are interested in it, just the more it grows. So yeah, it's only getting bigger. It's not going anywhere.
I agree. We just need some A-list celebrities to freaking
admit,
own up to it. Get it and own up to it. I think, you know, Chet Hanks, he's not A-list celebrity, but Tom Hanks' son, I'm pretty sure he got it. I don't know who did it, but I'm pretty sure he got it.
I know. That's what we keep saying. I just need like some high profile. In Australia, it's like called footy players. But I don't know. I don't know any sports players. Yeah. Just need a high profile sports player to just let me tattoo his head. There's one on the Melbourne team and like he's like the only bald one.
Have you DM'd him?
No, but I might.
Do it. Do it. Why not? I was DMing some. I DM'd a few professional athletes, and I actually got responses from a few.
Did you?
Yeah, but I didn't end up doing them. But I did get responses, and they were like, "I'm thinking about it." And then, you know, but sometimes they respond. I mean, it's worth a shot. Worst case scenario, they don't respond.
I'm going to. There's a mayor here that is bald as well. I might get in there as well.
Hey, that'd be great. That's great marketing.
The health inspector came to do our inspection today and he was bald and I was like, hello.
Hey. Are there any brands that you like the most in SMP? Is there any brands you stick with needle wise, machine wise?
Well, I'm sponsored by 5PM, so I pretty much use 5PM.
Shout 5PM.
Yeah, I just use 5PM. So that's what I've given all my student kits. I have been getting excellent results for years with 5PM. If I've got anyone with really difficult skin or really thick skin, like 5PM needles are ultra tight. They're extremely fine. Some people's skin is like leather. So if I've got any thick skin, I've got to go to a different brand. I do have some Eros needles on hand. Those are great. I like the 10s. And I occasionally use some Bishop number 8s, but 5PM is pretty much my go-to. Yeah.
Okay. And what about machine?
I just use the Masked Archer.
Hey, Dragon Hawk. That's what I use too.
I just use Masked Archer. So yeah, it was the 5PM machine and I was giving them in all my kits and I just got used to it. I used to use a Bishop machine for years, the corded one. And then just getting used to the Archer one, I'm like, this is great. It's a great little machine.
I love the wireless machine. It holds a battery pretty long as well.
That one specifically holds the battery forever. Like I have been using mine for days now. I haven't charged it. I've tried the, the Mast S. Smaller one. It's like more lightweight, but the battery, it comes, like you have to charge it more often. It only lasts about 5 hours.
That's the one where you put the battery on top. It's not all one unit.
I think so.
I felt off balance. I didn't like that.
Yeah, I don't know if it comes off or not. Maybe it doesn't, but I used it twice and both times the battery died. It charges really fast, but could you imagine having to like unwrap it, fucking go charge it, or you have to have a spare one basically. Yeah. So I'll just stick with the Mast Archer. That's
quick. And now that we have wireless, I'll tell you.
That one's great.
When I was a couple years ago, this is like 2021, before like the wireless machines became real popular, I was using the, you know, plugged in and our power went out and I'm like, fuck. Fuck, this is terrible. I'm only like 3/4 of the way through and I didn't have a wireless machine. So we just kind of waited it out, you know?
Really?
What am I going to do? Send them home with 3/4 of it?
I used to have a shop above a hair salon. So my previous one was above a hair salon and it was an old building. So in the winter, we'd all have little space heaters on. I've got my machine running. They've got the blow dryers running. So anytime we were all working, the power would cut out. You'd have to yell down the stairs, flip the switch.
Go to the circuit breaker.
Yeah. Like, and the power would go out all the time. Like if the air conditioning's on, power's out. It was so funny.
The damn blow dryers are the worst though. It's like, how much power are you using? They're always shutting shit down. Okay. And then I just want to ask you one more thing before we get like your socials. So for sales, so you're seeing good numbers each year? Because a lot of people, they're like, man, I did great 2020. 2021 did even better than 2022. Still did all right. Are you still growing? Or are you still like staying with those sales numbers? Obviously, you're expanding.
I would say we're still growing.
Good for you.
SMP is still growing. As more and more people are doing SMP, of course, you know, you're not as booked out. And like, I don't take many clients myself anymore. So it's slowed down for sure. That's just because there's more people doing SMP now. But I would say the volume of people getting SMP is the same. It's only growing. Yeah.
I agree. Anna, how can somebody find you? What's your social medias?
So at Inked, INKD underscore SMP.
Everywhere. And your website?
www.inkdsmp.com.au.
All right. Stay on. Thank you. Thank you for joining me all the way from Australia.
Thank you for having me.
What's up, everyone? Today is September 10th, 2024. It is 3 months since I've last talked to you. And we're joined today with Anastasia, aka Anna James, all the way from Australia. We had ended our conversation back in June, 3 months ago, but I didn't get to hear the whole story. And I really want to hear the whole story. So that's why we have delayed releasing the episode. Thank you for joining me, Anna.
Sorry, guys.
So I saw recently you had went to Italy. How's that?
I'm going to Italy in like 3 days.
Well, what were all those other pics that you just posted?
Those are from last year because it's just, you know, stuff I didn't post. So I was like, you know what?
Oh, I have so much of that. And I'm like, should I post it? Oh, well. Well, it looks awesome. Are you going to see Tony?
Nah. So I'm actually just going to Italy for a good friend of mine's 40th birthday. So
not S&P related.
Not S&P related. I'm only going for 10 days all up. So a week all up. But yeah, it's one of my best friends. Her mom died recently. She's been going through a really hard time. So I've got to go for however long. Just a quick trip to Italy, support my girl. Yeah.
Nice. What part?
We will be in Puglia. So what is it called? Polignano a Mare. And just that Puglia area.
Okay, nice. That's exciting. You say just 10 days, but that's 10 days.
10 days. Well, 10 days with the travel, like anywhere from Australia is a journey. So it takes 30 hours for us to get there and 30 hours to get
Italy?
Back.
You get 30 hours to Italy?
Joey, Australia is in the middle of nowhere.
I know, but I was like, I knew it was long, like 24 hours, something like that to get to the US, but I thought Italy maybe, I don't know, 12. I
30
know.
Hours to get to where we're going. Yeah, it's
Holy shit.
Well, we're doing a cute little trip. We'll have a night in Paris, me and my partner. Night in Paris, go to the Moulin Rouge. I've never done the Moulin Rouge in Paris, so.
Oh, that looks awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, that is fun. And are you worried about your people at your shop? Are they going to be able to run stuff without you there?
Yeah, they're all good. Like, so recently, one of the things that I've been sort of focusing on for myself the last few months is just delegating tasks and getting control of my schedule, not trying to do everything on my own. So Corey, one of our lead artists, has kind of taken on a management role in the business. So he's doing a lot of the stuff that I don't need to be doing anymore. Like, the team is on point, you know? So business as usual when I'm away. The 3-4 artists will still be working. So yeah, exciting.
I'm really happy for you. I also saw that you posted on your sales numbers, which are fucking incredible. Hey, good for you. And you have a team of artists. Your marketing must be phenomenal. and word of mouth and referrals. So you must be doing something right.
Like it's a lot. It's definitely been a journey for sure. So a lot of training. So I think since we spoke, I did like my 30th or 31st SMP training class. So taught my 31st class.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. In like 2.5 years. Yeah, the New Zealand Academy is sort of running without me there anymore. So my partner, trainer Arden, is taking the lead role in the New Zealand Academy. So his next couple classes are booked out. Like it's just been great.
What part of New Zealand is that in?
Auckland.
Oh, it's in Auckland? Okay.
Yeah.
And that is, there's like two islands, right? And so that's in the top island, but towards the bottom.
Yes, it is.
I'm learning. People always say Americans don't know where shit is outside
Americans
of the U.S.
Americans know a little. It depends on the part of America, right?
Yeah. So one of the reasons why we're doing this podcast again is I wanted to know how you got in to S&P, but why did you get into scalp micropigmentation, go into that brow class? What happened?
Yeah, so I mean, the what and why is super important in anybody's journey. So I didn't touch on it last time, but like when I actually got into S&P, there's a whole backstory behind why I was even at a brow training on the wrong day. Like I told you last time, you know, I came to Australia. I was only meant to be here 6 months. I was just a backpacker. But 4 days after getting here, I met my ex. So literally 4 days after I arrived. And it was like a meant to be type of situation. So I am truly a believer in just the law of attraction, you know, like the universe puts you in certain places for a reason. So how I actually met my ex. So I was, I came to Australia sort of without a friend, without my friend. She was meeting me. She had a family emergency in Scotland and I came to Australia by myself. So me being me, I can't just sit by myself. So I booked in to get dive certified, and the day that I wanted wasn't available, so I had to go on the next day. So that's where I met my ex. He was my dive instructor. And if I had gone the day before, he wouldn't be my dive instructor. So it was like meant to be. We met 4 days after I got here and just head over heels immediately. So yeah, met him and we're together like 4.5 years. We're engaged, meant to be married. And then he actually ended up passing away. He died in a really tragic accident. So that, of course, set the trajectory of my life completely off course, right? So I was meant to be doing one thing, buying a house, getting married, being a happy little travel agent. And then it was like gone pretty much instantly. Yeah.
I'm sorry. What happened? What was the accident?
Yeah, so he was a diver. So he's a professional diver on a fishing boat, like on a commercial fishing boat. They actually used to dive for sea cucumbers.
What's a sea cucumber?
It's like a sea. It's like a slug.
It's not a. It's not like something that turns into a pickle.
It looks like a fat cucumber from the sea, but it's a delicacy. Like it's a delicacy in Asia. So it's just really popular. They get them all here. And so, yeah, he was a diver on a fishing boat and they went out one day and it was just a freak accident, really, really rough seas. And yeah, the boat that he worked on capsized and sank. So capsized, sank. Yeah, there was 5 men on board and one of them, like the story is actually crazy. Every time I say it out loud, I'm like, that's just insane because this was 2017. So like a year before I started my S&P business. So yeah, so the boat capsized and sank. There was 5 men on board. One actually survived and he tread water for like 12 hours. In the middle of the ocean until he was randomly found by another boat and the other 4 died. So yeah, Eli was my fiance and he didn't survive. Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's terrible. That is crazy. Did they ever find out how it sank? Like, was there a big hole?
Honestly, there was not really a lot of information, like because it was such rough weather around the time, they couldn't really pinpoint exactly what happened, but the emergency systems on the boat, it's called an EPIRB, it didn't activate. So when the boat started to roll, there's like a system in the boat that's meant to alarm the authorities that something's happening. And that didn't happen, basically. So if Ruben was a survivor, if he wasn't found, they would have never known what happened to the boat. So yeah, it was pretty insane. It was like a massive news story. All over the news in Australia and worldwide because of how tragic it was, right? So, yeah, it was a lot.
That's devastating. And, I mean, just a freak accident like that. Yeah. And you're all prepared to get married, you're engaged, you're thinking about your life.
Yeah.
Holy moly. And so with that, I mean, is there insurance? Does that cover that? Like, hey, I guess it doesn't really matter because it's the weather and you can't control it.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, there was not insurance for us anyways. There wasn't insurance. So Yeah, they were just, no.
I'm assuming you talked to his family and all that.
Yeah,
that had to have been horrible. Yeah. And so how did you deal with that? I mean, that was 2017. How did you get through that?
Yeah, like 2017, honestly, like it was just a whirlwind for me, because when that happened, I think you just go into shock. Like, mm-hmm. It's really weird. Like the morning that it happened, I could not sleep the night before. Like, and I just woke up in a cold sweat. Like I was drenched, and I was running late for work, and I was just running late for work that day. And I was just drenched, and I was like, fuck, I just feel like shit today. And as I was leaving, one of the other captains from the boat comes barreling up my driveway in his truck. And he's just like, he can't speak. And he's like, there's been an accident, Eli. Like the boat sank. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what? And I just started freaking out in hysterics. Like, and from that moment, it was like, it's almost like you're in a autopilot, you know, it's like an autopilot mode for months. So I actually had to fly down to where the boat sank. Our families were there. So Eli's family, I don't have any family in Australia. So his family was my only family. So fly down, all the families of the other missing men flew down, and we all actively searched for their bodies for days. It was fucked, basically. But
did you end up recovering any bodies?
Two were recovered with the boat, and Eli's body and three others were never found.
Oh my, to this day?
To this day, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So to this day, so that was pretty, it was just a lot to deal with the loss, but also having no closure, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
horrible. Yeah. So it was a whole kind of, there's a term. I did a lot of researching of grief and and just all of that and signs and just trying to find answers for myself was kind of what I did. So, speaking to mediums, just doing like more of a spiritual kind of healing for myself. I found that when I went to sort of therapy, it wasn't helpful for me. I wasn't matched with the right therapist. So for me, it was like I needed a spiritual healing. But I've just kind of, for a long time, I just think I lived on an autopilot mode, really, in a state
just going through, just going through the motions.
Through the motions, but also having a sort of a mindset that Eli was sort of protecting me, like he was always with me. So one of the things that happened actually when we were searching for their bodies, we were out on a boat. We searched for maybe 3 days, and then everyone had to call off the searches because it was just getting nowhere. But I was out on a boat, and obviously his family's with me and the other families are with me, and we're just looking, scanning the coastline, trying to find anything, find debris, find them, find any sort of clues. And I just looked down beside me, and in the water, like, you know, when water's moving anyways, there's this rainbow.
Oh, wow.
Like right beside me on the boat in the water. And I was just like, I knew at that moment that he was gone. Like,
because up until that point, you were still thinking maybe he's floating or something like that, or found something.
Yeah. But that rainbow, I was like, he's gone, but he's going to be with me. So that's where the sort of rainbow and all of that stuff came about. If you've seen on my personal Instagram, you'll see lots of rainbows.
I saw that. I did see that. Hey, that's a sign. That's a sign. Yeah,
it is.
Grieving is very hard, and I don't think there's any right way to do it, you know, I've had to deal with a lot of loss as well, and it's not fun, and it can bother you. If you let it consume you, it will consume you. It'll take over.
One of the things that I did though was just a lot of soul searching and a lot of kind of maybe delusion, I don't know, like maybe it was just like, I'm okay. Oh, he's here with me. Life's good. Like, there is a time where you have to decide for yourself. Like, honestly, everything in life is a choice. So there's bad shit happens to good people, you know, like bad shit happens to good people all the time. But your happiness, your reaction to it, that is all a choice at the end of the day. Sometimes your emotions and things are going to be uncontrollable. But in that moment, I knew that I had to a choice to either just be completely miserable and just be done, or continue with my life and choose to find the happiness in the things that I was grateful for. So that's what I did. Yeah.
And I'm sure he would want you to continue to live a happy life and to move forward.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's what I had to do, is make that conscious decision to stay positive and just look for the signs.
And then, thank you for sharing that, Anna. Thank you, for real. And that's horrible. I'm sorry that happened to you. So after that happened, then you eventually made it to SMP?
Yeah. So that set my life on a on a little path there, on a little journey.
Detour, right?
On a detour, a huge detour. I'm going to say it was a 9-month detour. I like to call that phase of my life my early life crisis.
So, reasonable. Very reasonable.
You know, I'm 35 now, and that was about 27, 28 when that happened. So I don't want to call it my midlife, because that means I'm only going to live till I'm 50, 60. So that was my early life crisis. I basically took all the money that we had saved up and I spent every fucking dollar of it. So I'm talking like, we were meant to buy a house. So I'm talking like 70 grand spent, gone within 9 months, partying, traveling, wasting money. I got into the most ridiculous toxic rebound relationship, like toxic, abusive, everything. Like, it was insane. Basically, I was a completely different person, controlled, just not where I needed to be in my grieving time. So I moved back to Canada during this time. I was just so lost, like completely lost as a person. No idea what I wanted to do with my life. And then how I got into SMP was, I wanted to kind of start a business when I was in Canada with, we'll call this, the toxic rebound. We'll call this person that. We won't give him anything more than that. With the toxic rebound. And I started seeing cosmetic tattooing all the time. And I was like, that's really cool. Like, I think that would be pretty cool. And basically, this person was super controlling, was like, I don't want you even working at all, because I don't want you to be around men. Like, all this weird sort of mentality, just very controlling, right? So I ended up leaving the country. Like, that's what I had to do to get away from this
leaving
person.
Canada.
I just left the country without even telling him where I was going. So, yeah, it was like, honestly, Joey, it was like a life or death situation. Like, I just left the country and never looked back. So I left. And when I got back to Australia, I was like, I think I'm going to go to that cosmetic tattooing thing that I was thinking about, and booked in to do some microblading training. So
did you just secretly like pack everything and book your flights and just like,
so dip? I had basically, what happened was, there was a situation that happened. I had all my stuff packed already in a hotel room. And then when you're kind of in a mindset where you're, it's really hard to explain when you're not in sort of an abusive situation, but I went back one last time, another situation happened, and I was like, I can never see this person again. Like, they're literally not a good person. So I just booked a flight to Europe.
Okay. So, like, I'm out of here.
I had a girlfriend who was leaving to London. She was moving there, and I was like, I'm coming with you. It was literally like in 2 days. So I booked my fucking flight and never looked back, and went back to Australia and just started my life over. So when I got back to Australia, I packed up my house, packed up my car, sold everything, gave everything away, and just drove from the top of the country to the bottom of the country and just restarted my entire life with $0. $0, because I spent all my money partying and traveling and all of that. So
I know, yeah, but I mean, you had a really good reason. You're trying, obviously, drown your sorrows, right?
Oh, honestly, like, it was needed, and I had to go through all of that fucked up situation to get to where I am now. Because when I got back to Australia, the mindset was completely different. I was like, I don't put up with anybody's shit. I never have. but I absolutely will not, after going through this, I've got to build myself back up. And I was just in search of something that was going to be rewarding and fulfilling to help people. So yeah, I guess my angels led me to SMP.
Let me ask you about the trip from the top to the bottom of Australia. Yeah. How many days did that take?
Well, we spread it out. So one of my best friends that's in Melbourne, she flew up, and then our other friend sort of drove down with us. My friend whose 40th birthday that I'm going to Italy, actually, we used to all live together in Cairns, me, her, and my ex-fiance. We all used to live together, so we're all really close. So we made a trip out of it, and the trip actually, it lined up perfectly with the 1 year anniversary of the accident. So on the way down, Moki, this boy is relentless.
That's a big cat. Damn,
he's like, you're doing something. Involve me. Jeez. Look, you're a star, baby. So it lined up with the 1 year anniversary of the accident. So we got to see everybody's family and just have our moments and our tears and everything together. So the trip was actually a lot of fun. And then I moved to Melbourne and had to start over. Had to share my best friend's bed for like 2-3 months because I had no money, I had no job, I had no anything. So I had a car full of pants. That's all I had. And 5 friends. That was it. So
it sounds like that's all you needed. I mean, your story is it's sad, but it's also inspiring. You're very resilient, and I'm proud of you for continuing to push your stuff, because you could have just spiraled out of control. You know, you could have spiraled out of control, got drunk more, start doing drugs, you know, just continued to do things that would not be positive in your life. And you took it in the complete opposite direction. Now you have a successful business, and you're really making a name for yourself. So I'm really happy for you that you were able to do that. Not everyone would. Not everyone will.
I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like there's always been something. I just kind of go with the flow. I feel like it always sort of works out. Like when I got into SMP, I didn't even know what SMP was, right? But one of the things that I've always been a journaler, like I'm just a journaler. So the day after my fiance passed away, I went and brought a journal and just started journaling things. The very first day, something that I wrote was, I don't know why, I can't explain it, and I still have it to this day. I can't explain it, but I know that one day I will help and inspire people.
So I love that. I love that. You knew it.
And it's like, I just knew something was going to change for me, that I had to stay positive. So becoming an SMP artist and then now a trainer, like, I mean, what is more, how else that's, can't help people more than that, you know? Like, well, you can, but
You manifested it.
Yeah, definitely manifested it, and believed that, you know, I deserve to be happy, and in turn would make other people happy, and then good things happen to you from there. And it's sort of just like the law of attraction, right?
I agree. When you continue to help people, I think good things end up happening for you. Thank you for sharing that. I also wanted to bring up, just switching gears, you're going to be at the Meeting of the Minds. Meeting of Minds. They keep yelling at me for saying Meeting of the Minds.
Meeting of the Minds. I keep calling it. Was it Meeting of the Minds at some stage and it's been changed?
I don't know. They're like, Joey, it's not Meeting of the Minds. It's Meeting of Minds. And I'm like, okay. All right, cool. So you're going to be there, right?
Yes, I am going to be there. Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be doing a speech, I guess. So I'll be one of the speakers on day 2. So yeah, I'm super
excited.
Are you going
to be there day 1 as well?
I will be there day 1 and sort of the pre-party the night before. So
I will see you there.
I'm really excited. So I absolutely love New York. When I was a kid, I used to live there for a little bit, as I told you. So, but New York's a different playground when you're an adult. So I'll be going with my current partner. He loves New York as well. So yeah, we're just going to make a big trip out of it, New York. And then the following week, I have a Canada beginners class happening. So then we'll go to Canada as well.
That's what I was going to ask. I was wondering, are you going to go home, I guess, see your family and then come to New York? So you're going to go to New York and then go to Canada?
Yes, fun and then work.
How long are you going to spend in Canada?
About a week all up. So we'll arrive, I'll do my class, and then a few days after. So my partner has never been to Canada. So excited to show him my hometown, Calgary. So one of the most beautiful parts of Canada for sure. So I'm really excited.
How do you think he'll do with the cold? It won't even be that cold by then.
Oh, he'll be fine. Robert? We just got back from New Zealand like a few weeks ago, and it was snowing in the mountains when we were there. Not on Canada level, but the mountains were really, really snowy and cold, and absolutely fine. He actually used to do, he did a season in, what's it called? Mammoth? Is that California?
I'm not sure.
Anyways, it's like a ski mountain town or something. So he did a ski. He's not one of these Aussies who hasn't seen snow.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, he's seen
snow. That's exciting. So you'll be there the whole Wednesday, or what's it, Wednesday night, with the parties at Scout Micro USA, I believe.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Tuesday. I don't know what it is, but I'll be there.
I believe Wednesday night is like the pre-party, and then it's a Thursday and Friday.
Is it?
And I'll be there recording shit, and Kira Amazing. Will be there.
I'll be there the whole time. Meeting of minds was, I think, it was kind of a turning point for me when it came to my SMP sort of career and mindset and the importance of education. So during lockdown, I attended the online one.
I remember that.
Yeah. And just, what was it, 2021 or 2020, whatever it was. Anyways, I was just listening to everybody talk about stuff, and I was just mind blown because my original training was super basic, and this was stuff that I'd never even thought about before. So hearing people talk and, you know, the importance of this and how you use machines and color theory, and I was like, oh, I have to research this. So yeah, it wasn't even on my radar before, but so going now, years later, as a speaker, having, you know, watched the evolution of SMP and those artists that I looked up to and still look up to, like getting to meet them and sort of hear what everyone's saying, like, it's just going to be such an awesome event. So yeah, I'm really excited.
I agree. I'm looking forward to it too, because I mean, we all kind of talk to each other on Instagram to a certain extent. So meeting people in person will be exciting. And I've met a bunch of people in person, but this will be a little bit different. You know, because years have gone by and there's new people kind of involved. Yeah, I'm excited. And now I have to produce really good videos. So my pressure's on. I'm going to be, you know, filming and all that stuff, but I think it's going to be a good time overall and good for the SMP community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there any new products that you're using?
Product wise for myself? No, I don't, honestly, not right now. I think I'm pretty happy with what I'm using. I can't think of anything specifically that I'm using. Maybe certain ways that I'm using things is a little bit, you're just always learning. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Every client, you're learning different things. So just maybe, learning how to do things a little bit differently. I like to say, like, we all say we're experts at this point. I feel like I can do anything, but you're never truly an expert. Like, I feel like my most recent client is always my best client because I know that much more, you know? You're like,
I agree. Every hair follicle replication, trying to get better than the last person, right?
Yeah,
every
exactly. Session,
trying to get better.
Yeah, every blend, I'm like, that is so fucking good. I'm like, honestly, should I just retire and just go out on top because I'm just that fucking good? Like,
got to make the money though, right? And you want to stay on top of your... Now, Anna, let me ask you this before we wrap this up. If somebody wants Anna James to do their S&P, are you still doing heads or just teaching?
So I am still doing heads, but I am, like I said, at the moment, I'm focusing on getting my physical time back and being really selective about the days that I work. So when I first came into SMP, I didn't even care. I didn't even know how much money. I didn't have a goal. I didn't have structures. You know, I just sort of worked, took every single client with no days off. And that really catches up to you. So now I am, very selective on the days I work. I have maxed my days in the studio to exactly the amount of hours that I want to work. And then in return, you figure out how much money do I need to make for those days that I'm in studio? How much do I need to do here? And yeah, I am still doing clients, but only specific ones. And obviously it costs more.
And for, yeah, that's what I was going to say. For the right price, you're going to
do it. For the right price, I'll do it. Yeah.
Me too.
But I'm very strict now on my days off because for years I didn't have a day off. I worked
Sunday.
Yeah,
working 7 days, right? Monday, you take it whenever they were available.
Every single day. And I'm like, I'll never turn a client away. I'll work every day, like no boundaries whatsoever, no work-life balance. But now that I have a really amazing partner, he's got two daughters, I'm more involved with the family, like my priorities have changed. So it's not all about working 24/7. Like I need time for myself. I need time for my health, for my mental health, just to relax, like to run the business. I still run the entire business. So
it's a lot.
I'm training students. Yeah. I have a business mentoring group now for all artists and students, like SMP school. So I need time to do all of that. So I can't be in the studio as much. So when I am in the studio, I'm getting paid.
I know all about it. I was doing the same thing, working Monday through Sunday. Then I was like, I'm cut Sundays out. And then I was like, I'm not doing Saturdays or Sundays. And then it got to the point where I was like, I'll do a person at 7 a.m., right? But most of the time, my start time is like 9 a.m., 9:30, but I'm leaving by 5:30. I used to take them after work. They're like, well, when I get up, I'm like, use a fucking vacation day.
You know what I mean? I used to do it too. So like, now I'm like, no Sundays. I work the 3 days a week. That is it. I've got a set day for my admin, for my meetings with my team, like in order to have a well-oiled machine with multiple academies here and there and team members. Like I just can't be 24/7 in the studio anymore. It's just not possible. Like the burnout is crazy.
It is. And you want to perform your best when you're every time you get on your head. You don't want to be all fucking feeling like shit and, you know, jacking some head up.
That's probably why everything. Yeah. I'm like, I am having so much fun. Like I always have fun when I go and do clients, but now it's extra fun because I'm like, I'm just happier, just in general, just happier. Yeah.
That's great to hear. Well, Anna, thank you for coming on. I know this was part two. It's getting late over there. And this.